Blog Talk Radio. Blog.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here on this January 5, 2019, with the Spirit of Truth Ministry research staff, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today. We will be getting started with our study in just a minute or two, but I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, our website is up and running. Chat room is up and running, and if you need any information, you can go there. Our website, primary website, is spiritoftruthministry.net, and you can go there and find all sorts of good things. We also want to remind you that on our Blog Talk Radio page, you can click on episodes, and you can find literally over 1,000 episodes that are available to you, and you can download any number of those that you want. The other day, I was listening to one Dr. Rich did as a solo. It was in 2007. The rest of us weren't available, and he decided that he just was going to do it himself, and he did, and it was kind of a good program. So, just a reminder for that. We also are starting a new year, and in regard to that, we encourage you to make a commitment to join us each week. Either live, if you choose, or to download our podcast, download us as a podcast. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us today in spirit and in truth. Jesus, thank you for your words that you brought from the Father and gave to your eyewitness disciples so that we can read them today and know that they are truth. Thank you, Mother, our Holy Spirit, whose name is Wisdom, for bringing to our minds the understanding of those words and how to relate those words to other people so they too can come to a full knowledge of the truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Michael Niboyo, who just walked in. And good morning, Rick. I'm saying morning because it is just a little after 10 a.m. here.
Did you say the date?
I did. Sure did. Okay, I'll say it again. January 5, 2019. I even said that right.
I
sweat well into
that. I won't say anything. You ever wonder if your life has any purpose? I've thought about my life and when my mother died in 2014, I thought about her life and her purpose. And then when my father died in 2017, I thought the same thoughts. what is the purpose of life?
That's a weighty topic.
I've had various answers, from there is no purpose to, well, you're supposed to do good, you know, help the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, do good things for people, to help the less fortunate. So what is the purpose of the less fortunate? To be there to make those who can help them have purpose to their life?
And feel good and feel better about...
You know, yeah. And if we weren't here, then there would be no problems. You wouldn't have poor and needy. You wouldn't have well-to-do. You wouldn't have those in the middle who seem to feel that they should help those less fortunate. Is that why God put us here on this earth? I want to know. Why did God put us here on this earth? For those who believe that God put us on this earth. Every so often, I have a conversation with my wife that is a lot like what I just said. I have thought a lot about this, especially over the last few years. Next Sabbath will be the 25th anniversary of the first Sabbath that this class started. That's a quarter of a century. And right now, if you want to look at the numbers, the WordPress site is still growing. Over 30,200 yesterday. So is that a good thing? And what does that mean?
Today we have 1,004 episodes on our Blog Talk Radio website. Today is the 1,005th.
And how many people are benefiting from this broadcast? How many people have benefited from the 1,004 couple hundred or whatever on TalkShoe? How many people have benefited? Have any benefited? You know, I can look here around the kitchen.
Studio.
And there's a handful of people. And a dog. Who's only here for the food. Oh, if only the people would be here for the food. You know, some people might say, well, Rick, you know, you're not being very successful. You don't have a big church. You don't have a lot of people that are sitting there in awe, amening and hallelujahing and raising their hands and swooning and, you know, all the stuff that the real preachers, the real theologians do.
You know, we've talked about this a couple of times, Rick, especially over a beer at George's, that if we had wanted to, we could, in the last 25 years, we could have made a fortune running a church.
Well, we could fleece the flock.
We really could fleece
the
flock.
We know how to do it.
We could do the music, and we would have the pageantry, and we would have the sermons, and we could make people feel wonderful.
And for most people, that would be ideal.
A success.
In fact, I had a couple of doctors say, "Well, Rick, why don't you ask for money?" I said, because that's not what this is all about. I have never purposefully asked for money, and I have made it a point that I would never. If God wants the ministry funded, God will fund it at the right time. What has always given me hope and has encouraged me, I guess encourage is the right word. The Son of God came here to this earth. He started a ministry. He gathered 12 students to follow him throughout the next year. And he told them the truth. Well, they didn't really know whether he was, where he got his authority to teach. They didn't know, in fact, whether he was actually telling the truth, because those who had control of the truth, those who knew the truth, the ones who could read and write and who had studied under theologians of national renown, they were the ones who would know what the truth was, and they were certainly making it clear that this man who had called them to follow him was not telling the truth. In fact, he was a lawbreaker, and they kept pointing out every time he broke the law. But in the back of their minds, they were saying, well, if he's working for the devil, how can he do all these things that he can do? Because if the devil were able to do it, we would be seeing these miracles all over the place. But we don't. And so they were so confused about whether he was telling them the truth or not, that at the end of his ministry, one of his students sold him out. All the rest of them abandoned him when the group showed up to arrest him and take him for trial. And he died virtually alone, hanging on a cross, abandoned. You know, I would say that you could argue that he wasn't successful, that his ministry failed, because people felt sorry for him, and they believed him to be a good man, and he might even be a prophet, but they weren't really sticking up for him. I mean, even Peter denied in very colorful language that he even knew the guy. And when he told them that he was going to go back to where he came from, and that they knew the way there, they said, we don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way? in your prayers, do not babble as the pagans do. For they think that by using many words, they will make themselves heard. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So you should pray like this. Our Father in the heavens, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth as it is in the heavens. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who are in debt to us. And do not put us to the test, but save us from the evil one. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. That first line. How many of you, when you pray this prayer, think about what the words are saying? Your kingdom come. Okay, Father, bring your kingdom already. Bring it down here so we know where it is. Make it stand out so we'll have no question. Make it a huge, vast building, a hall, and leave the door unlocked so that we can enter. Is that your view of the kingdom? I asked this question just the other day to my wife. How do you know when you have entered the kingdom? When you pray, Father, bring your kingdom. How do you know when you have entered the kingdom? There is no building. There's no room. There's no vast field, pasture. There's no city. How do you know when you pray, your kingdom come already? How many thousands of years do you need to wait before you bring your kingdom here? I said, how do you know when you have entered the kingdom? And here's the answer. When you can show others the way. The Son of God said to his disciples, and we find this in John. And I think John, of all the disciples, actually understood him the clearest. Right before his arrest and sham of a trial, you see, the Son of God, when he came, he brought the kingdom. He brought it with him. It was in his intellect. That is where the kingdom is in his intellect. And he brought it with him, and he shared it with everyone who would listen. The very words that would show the way to the kingdom so you could enter it. In John chapter 13, at the quote-unquote Last Supper, Judas had just left. Night had fallen. And when he had gone, Jesus said, this is verse 31 of chapter 13, "Now has the Son of Man been glorified, and in him, God has been glorified. The kingdom of God glorifies the God of the kingdom."
Say that again.
The kingdom of God glorifies the kingdom of God. And God is glorified by his kingdom. If God has been glorified in him, God will in turn glorify him in himself. And will glorify him very soon.
It is interesting that in the NASB, that last phrase is, "and will glorify him immediately."
My little children. Oh, how sweet. Oh, that language. Doesn't that just touch you right here? My little children. I shall not be with you much longer. You will look for me. And as I told the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You also must love one another. By this love you have for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Why didn't he call them my men, my students, my kingdom? Why did he say my little children?
Because at that point they only had the understanding of a little child. they had no maturity about their understanding.
So how were they supposed to grow into adulthood? Obviously, spiritually speaking, because they were physically adults. How were they to grow into spiritual adults? Simon Peter said, Lord, where? Where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me now. You will follow me later. Peter said to him, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Lay down your life for me? Answered Jesus. I tell you most solemnly, before the cock crows, you will have disowned me three times.
See, in this exchange, Peter is proving that he is a little child, that he does not understand what God is talking about.
That Peter is still envisioning
an earthly kingdom.
An earthly kingdom. And he's ready to fight. You remember what just shortly, a few hours later, when Pilate was questioning the Son of God. And the Son of God said, if my kingdom were of this world, my men would be fighting to prevent this. Just what Peter is saying. If my kingdom were a physical kingdom here on this earth and I was its king, my men would be fighting to prevent you from doing this.
So sometime between this moment here in John 13 and that moment in John 18, did they get it? Did the disciples get it?
Nope.
That's right.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still. Why does he say still? Keep trusting in God. If you have trusted in God until now, keep trusting in God. And trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If there were not, I should have told you. I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you may be too. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I like to read it, though, this way. I am the way via the truth to the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That is a very misunderstood statement. Most people that I have talked to use that statement combined with Pauline salvation theology, which means that the only way to the Father is through the death of Jesus Christ. And while that is a part of it that is required, it is not how you get to the Father. The sacrifice of the Son of God pays the debt that was owed, that debt of death. But that alone will not get you to the Father. And the statement that he made just before that I read, tells us, because he doesn't say, I am the way, the death to life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way via the truth to the life. He is telling the truth. The truth is the way to the kingdom where there is eternal life. If you know me, you know my Father too. From this moment, you know him and have seen him.
Depending on who you talk to in the Christian church, and I bring this up because I heard a sermon at the church where my son plays the organ a few months back when we went there to hear him play the organ. This statement of Jesus in John 14:6, I am the way that leads to life through the truth, is a mystical statement. It is not a factual statement. And Christians choose, many Christians choose, that which they believe is mystical and that which they believe is factual. And many times, because of the Apostle Paul, they reverse them. That which is actually factual, they turn into a mystical identity. And that which is mystical, they turn into a factual identity.
Whatever they don't want to do and understand, they make it mystical.
See, and this has to do with operation. If it requires an operation on their part, that is something that they might, you know, it's like today you hear the term special operator in the military. They wouldn't be a special operator if they didn't operate, if they didn't go out into the field and do the things that were required of them to complete a task. Christians don't believe that they have to do anything in order to be saved. All they must do is believe in the name of Jesus Christ and they are saved.
And a good example of making something mystical or spiritual, same thing,
right,
is what they've done to the book of Revelation. That it's spiritual. It's nothing in the book of Revelation actually happens. It's just a metaphorical account of the battle between good and evil. From this moment you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, let us see the Father. And then we shall be satisfied. Oh, my goodness. Have I been with you all this time, Philip? Remember, Philip is Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Philip is a Greek. Mm-hmm. Have I been with you all this time, Philip? Said Jesus to him. And you still do not know me? To have seen me is to have seen the Father. So how can you say, let us see the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words
that I say to you, the words.
The words. And where do words dwell?
In the intellect.
In the intellect. The words I say to you, I do not speak as from myself. Where did the Son get the words that are in his intellect?
From his Father.
And he says
that. He says it.
He says, this is the message I received from my Father, and I brought it here. The words that his Father spoke, and however that happened. However that happened. He says, I brought with me what I heard from my Father in the heavens.
One of the great lessons of my life, Rick, and you met my father. One of the great lessons is that my dad, when I was in, I think, 8th or 9th grade, and I was having trouble with algebra, and he sat down with me one day and he says, Dennis, I don't want you to write anything on the paper. I want you to tell me, speak some words. Tell me how this works. Tell me the operations. Dad, I don't know how to do that. I can't even write it. He's, no, forget writing it down. When you can say it, you know it. And my dad was not only a physician, but he was a physicist. He was in the Pacific on Tinian when they were doing the Bikini Atoll tests, and he was one of the physicists on site during that time. And what I didn't get until years later, after you and I had become acquainted and I started generating some different kinds of thinking on this, what you said at the very beginning of the program today, you know that you understand righteousness when you can explain it to someone else. When you can speak the words, you know now you are in the kingdom. And that is absolutely phenomenal. It is so important. Because when you talk to a Christian, they will say to you, oh, of course I can tell you how all this works. All we have to do is love God and claim his name, and we are in the kingdom. And yet, if it was that simple, wouldn't Jesus have stated that to his disciples?
Wouldn't all Christians be in the kingdom?
And every Christian would be in the kingdom.
The words I say to you, I do not speak as from myself. It is the Father living in me. Remember, the words are living. They are living words. He talks about living words. Who is doing this work? You must believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe it on the evidence of this work, if for no other reason. I tell you most solemnly, whoever believes in me will perform the same works as I do myself. He will perform even greater works because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Rick, what could human beings do that would possibly be greater than what Christ did when
great
he was here
question.
On earth?
Great question.
I'll answer that in just a minute. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I shall ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. That Spirit of truth, whom the world can never receive. The world can never receive.
Change kingdoms before you can receive it.
So what is the world? The kingdom of the world. That's the kingdom we all start out in, and that's the kingdom we will all end up in unless we find the way to the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? We all start out in the kingdom of the world. I don't care what God you believe in and pray to and worship. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what you believe or what you think the truth is. We all start out in the kingdom of the world, and that is where we will all end up if we don't find the way to the kingdom of God. Because there's not a middle kingdom. There's not some ground in between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world is likened to a wilderness spiritually. And there's no transitional zone where there's a little bit of the kingdom of the world and a little bit of the kingdom of God existing together while you transition into God's kingdom. The world can never receive, since it neither sees nor knows her. Do you notice something about that? Everyone recognizes that I'm aware of who gives any credence to this statement recognizes that the advocate, the Son of God, is promising is the Holy Spirit. Has anyone seen the Holy Spirit?
We can't see the Holy Spirit because we don't have spiritual eyes. Not yet.
We cannot see this Holy Spirit. No one can see the Holy Spirit. What about knowing whom the world can never receive, since it neither sees nor knows her? But you know her, because she is with you. She is in you. So, what is he talking about? I mean, I can see his disciples sitting there with their eyes wide open and their mouth agape, and they're trying to visualize what in the world he is saying. I know your Bible says he. I'm not going to get into this right now. She is in you. How is she in them? Has she possessed them as a demon, an evil spirit would do? Has she moved in and taken over?
It all has to do with the intellect.
The truth. She's
has
the truth.
To do with the word. See, I believe that this, when John heard this and he started putting all this together, and John had a whole lot more information. He tells us there was a lot more that went on that he didn't make record of. He's processing this. John is a very intelligent person. And he's processing all of this information. And by the time he writes this book, he understands it. He knows it. He is not writing John as he's going along day by day. He writes this years after. And that's why he starts his message with, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos." He got it. It's the words. The words are the only thing that allows God to be in you. Words. When his words are in you, he is in you. She is in you. The Son is in you. You are one through the words. And God is not a lying word. God is not a lie. God is the truth. And God will only be in you when the truth is in you.
And Rick, people will say, "Oh, but I have the truth in me. I feel it. I feel the Holy Spirit when he comes upon me, when I'm at church and I'm praying or under these, you know, other conditions."
You know how you tell when the truth is in you? When what is in you is not exposed by the truth. You can hide all you want. But if you believe that you are saved by grace, if you believe that Jesus died so that he can save you, a sinner,
in your sin,
then show me where he said that.
Rick, can you say that again? You can know the truth is in you. Can you say that?
When what is in you isn't exposed by the truth.
Wow.
When Paul says that God had to change things around so that he could save people. Otherwise, he'd have to destroy everybody. Where does the Son of God say that? Where does the Son of God say that my Father has had me come here so that he could change the dynamic of salvation because, well, he finally came to the realization that the law wasn't a good way to save people.
God finally came to his senses.
I will not leave you orphans. And God does not lie, ever. And when he says, I will not leave you as orphans, he's not going to leave us as orphans. I will come back to you. In a short time, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, and you will live. On that day, you will understand that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Anybody who receives my commandments and keeps them will be one who loves me. Does that sound like something Paul would say? Keeps the commandments and love? Love casts out. There's love, there's no condemnation. Love, there's no judgment. Love, there's no us and them. Love is all inclusive. That's Paul is really good about that. Smooth words makes everybody feel so loved and accepted. Anybody who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and show myself to him. Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what is all this about? What is all this about? Do you intend to show yourself to us? And not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we shall come to him. And make our home with him. Can you tell me when that will happen? When will that happen?
When they can explain how righteousness works. We come back to the doing greater works than him.
When the words of the Father, which are also in the Son, which are also in the Holy Spirit,
are in you,
are also in us. That is when they come. Those who do not love me do not keep my word. And my word is not my own. It is the word of the one who sent me. I have said these things to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. Stop and think for a moment. How much do the disciples understand at this point in time?
Not much.
They're still asking the simple questions.
Right. And they're still equating it all to physical identity.
So he's going away. He didn't teach them anymore, did he? He already gave them the word. He gave them the word, but they didn't understand it. The letter of Matthew, Mark, and John is a direct result of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. She taught them using the words of her son. I have said these things to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. What I want everyone to understand is the Father is not a liar. His Son is not a liar. His Holy Spirit is not a liar. And all who become his sons are not liars. And that can only happen when the word of truth, which the Son brought and planted in the intellect of the disciples who wrote down what they heard, and the Holy Spirit, who is the mother of the righteous, according to Revelation 12, the woman standing on the moon, her offspring tell the truth. They are not liars. The 144,000, it says, they have no lie in their mouth. They are blameless. So don't tell me, how do we know whether it's a lie or not? We just can't know until we get to heaven. And then God is going to let us all know, well, that's a lie and that's the truth. So, when I started, I asked, what is the purpose? The only purpose for any of us is that we accomplish that which God has given us to do. My only purpose for living, for being alive, for existing, is that I am who I think I am.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here with us today. I encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you all next week, and may you have a blessed Sabbath day.